Await, no longer, greatness has arrived. Welcome to the Trophy Room reviews and breaks down The Last of Us HBO show, episode 6. I'm your host, Mr. Badbit, aka Joseph. I don't know, that's my real name. Why did I say it? Nonetheless, alongside me, the greatest co-host whoever is, whoever will be, Mr. Kyle Stephenson. How are you, sir?
I feel like I just had a baptism.
Yeah.
I went to church this Sunday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. And, man, we say it every week. Show's great. I will say it now. I think this is my favorite episode.
All right. So we are getting to my favorite part of The Last of Us.
Yes.
Yes. And so I am amped to see what comes after this episode because, you know, to me...
Buckle in, everybody. This shit's going crazy.
All over the place, man.
And all newcomers. Like, you are... what you saw the past 6 episodes, emotional damage, for sure. You have not seen anything yet, I feel like.
Yeah, because to me, I think the way the show has done it so far is, like, here's, you know, act, like, you know, one, which is, like, mm-hmm. his story with his daughter. Act two is very much, all right, post-apocalypse, we get to Kansas City, and now this is... we're getting into act three. Right, the final stretch of their journey, which is the most impactful part, is my favorite parts of this game, is in its latter half. We are getting to the left behind stuff, so I am so excited for what this episode, which is to me the foundation episode. You know, we had the big climax with the bloater. Now it's time to lay down the foundation of what's going to be the next big, you know, finale type of stuff. That said, Kyle, I think the show has done what the show has done better than part two, I'll just say it right here, or what the video games have done, is connect, you know, Last of Us Part 1, the first game, to Part 2, the second game. So incredibly well. And I think the reason why you love this is the same reason why I love this episode, is it fleshes out Joel's psyche so much more than what was done in the game. Because the same things happen to Joel in the game than in the show, but you're seeing him process all of it. And the weight that has on him, not just the responsibility of getting, you know, this girl, aka the miracle cure, but also the emotional damage of this is becoming his second daughter.
And that's what I loved about it, is the very early on. And do you want to give the whole spiel of, like, as far as spoilers go before we get into it?
So the only things we're spoiling this episode, so if you watch along, congrats. And we're just mirroring what this episode is to the game. So in this section of the game, that's what we're spoiling here for people who have not played the game. We're talking about what's parallel and what's different from this section in the game to what this episode is. So we're not going to talk about, like, big spoilers, what happens at the end of this show.
No,
just
some very light things I'll touch on with part two, but nothing crazy. The moment where he has his first, like, panic attack, when he's leaving the house, when he's you know, trying to find Tommy, that is when that whole part of this episode, seeing Joel break down in his talks with Tommy, which, oh my god, fantastic scene. It just shows just how much of that walled up facade, the walled up barrier that he put up with Ellie, is crumbling at the seams before our eyes. He is falling in love in a paternal way with having a daughter again. And Ellie is that to him. And for him to slowly realize it and realize that, yes, he's deaf in the right ear. He's not as fast and agile as he used to be. And he is so focused on getting her to where she needs to go because it is his purpose, and he's trying to make up for his, which his wasn't even his mistake, his failing with his daughter Sarah,
like, or what he perceives as.
That whole scene in Jackson when he thinks he sees her, and that woman runs over and hugs her daughter. Then turns around, and it's obviously not Sarah, but to Joel, the little glimmer of like what could have been kind of thing. Oh my God. That was cry number one. one of the cries for sure.
So literally, gang, I walked in. I go, how many times did they get you? Kyle's like four or five. I'm like, they got me twice. They got me two good times with the ugly cries. So cry counter, we're at seven. But let's start all the way at the beginning here. So homage to the game. We see a man who has just hunted down a lot of rabbits. That is what you may see eventually, but the rabbit hunting thing is parallel to what we see in the game, right? Of Ellie doing that. That being said, this is an old man with his wife. We saw them in the commercials trailers. And trailers leading up to this. And they walk in, or he walks in with his wife just sitting on a chair, rocking chair, rocking back and forth. And Joel has a gun pointed at both of them. And he's just like, listen, I'm just a man traveling through. Or as Boba Fett would say, I'm just a man making his way through the galaxy. Right? And I just want to preface, when Joel walks in, he's holding the gun like the Mando. He can't shake that role away from him. And I just...
Makes me
love it even more. But their conversation is kind of tongue-in-cheek, like they're, the old man knows if Joel wanted to kill him, he would have done it already. The old man knows that there's a girl in the room here, so he knows who he's kind of dealing with, and his wife's still there, so things are, he knows that this isn't like a I'ma just rob you situation. She's also fed Joel and Ellie as well.
I want, no joke, a full 6-episode series of just those two.
Oh yeah.
I love their dynamic with each other. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you made them soup? Like, what?
They were hungry. didn't fight them back. And the gun was over there.
And the line of like, he said, oh yeah, no, we've lived out here for years. And she goes, I didn't want to come out here.
Yeah. It's great.
Their dynamic is great. I grumpy love old that.
Couple.
But I love that they're surviving the best that they can in this
real
world,
talk,
which is great.
They seem like they're doing fine, too.
They're doing fantastic,
And he also knows, the old man knows the rules of the road, which is you cross this river, it's death.
Yeah.
Over here is fine, but...
I don't know for you, who played the game, who were you thinking about what they were saying?
David.
1,000%. And when we get to it, was it David?
Nope. That comes later.
Great change.
And so, they're talking about, listen, you want to go to Jackson. Well, this county. And then some of the things that they talk about, the locations, are in part two. Weaving together these games so well, so seamlessly. So they're like, listen, you cross this river, it's bad news bears for you. But if you want to get to your brother, that's where you're going to have to cross. So long story short, they walk out of the cabin. Ellie steals a rabbit.
Yeah.
One of plenty that they got. And she's like, they're fine. It's whatever. Yeah. She even makes a joke about it. Like, I should have stolen too.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry. Yeah. And you get Joel's first panic attack. Like the realization that, oh, my brother may be dead. Like, it's maybe all for naught. And a great work of how panic attacks work, at least mine.
Oh my God. It almost triggered one in myself. Cause
same. I was like,
I've gone through them. They suck so much. And seeing that made me uncomfortable. And you just that alone knows just how great he pulled that off.
Pedro's acting here.
Showcasing just what true panic is.
Yeah. And shout out to Joel and Ellie, I mean, or Pedro and Bella here as well, because we get it more of a showcase of their relationship as it's grown, because 3 months have passed since the Sam situation. And you're getting to see how they've both very much opened up to each other. You know, they are now considered friends. Like, you know, she asks him while they're camped out for the night, hey, what are we doing after this? Like, it's already predetermined that we're going to be buds. Yeah. And then when he kind of shoes her off, he's like, okay, what are you doing? Like, she doesn't even believe the question she's asking, because that's how, you know, attached they are. Yeah.
His answer, cry account number two.
Boom.
And I tweeted about it. He just talks about the farmhouse that is in part two.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a huge grin on my face, as well as tears falling down, because that farmhouse is so freaking
good.
A lot of heavy things happen at that farmhouse without spoiling anything. And the fact that they just, the beginning of the references of part two, including the conversations with the couple, like, I have so much faith in the second season already.
Oh yeah. And even she opens up, Ellie talks about her fascination with space.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I know, my God, yeah. Oh.
I know what's, you know, around these four walls. I know what's
Sally ocean around effing me. Ride.
The Sally effing ride. And then she lingers on that for a bit. And it's a heavy realization for her. I don't know of what, but it's a strong moment, as well as them passing the whiskey like container to each other. Yeah. That's such a father and son thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Something I didn't do with my pa. He didn't like me that much.
No, I didn't do that either.
To have that handoff, that send off, is just like, yeah, she is kin, and that is scaring, as much as he welcomes it, scaring the crap out of Joel. So okay. Let's fast forward a bit. Well, first, how did you like this scene? Because I know this was one of the scenes that Neil wanted to put in the game but couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you like it?
I loved it. I think it was a great scene. I think it not being in the game is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is being missed from the game at all. I think it adds a ton to the show, and I think it's needed for the show, or else it would have been too much of them just trucking through the wilderness.
Yeah.
And having fun little conversations, but they are not like moving the characters ahead a bit, right? It helps break it up a tad.
And just like, you know, when she's like, okay, so you're on watch one, I'm on watch two. He's like, I'm on both watches tonight. You just go to sleep. And Joel does the same thing he did in episode four, which is he falls asleep on watch.
Yeah.
And she picks it up for him. And he's like, you shouldn't have done that, man. Like, you wake me up. Because, you know.
Not only just picked up, she crushed it.
Yeah.
She did everything correctly. She's learning. She's like a sponge to Joel's teachings.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I get it. You know, wall at my six. I'm looking out. I got this. And he's not convinced because, again, the paternal role. Now, he gets a little nervous, though. They're crossing the river. He's expecting something, as is she. You know, the old man's warnings bear almost not true. As you start to hear, like, the sound. It just sounds like, is there, like, a clicker nearby? What's this? And it's Ellie trying to whistle because Ellie, echoes back in through the game, doesn't know how to whistle.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, this episode just it's rocks.
Awesome. It's awesome.
And then they walk across the hydro dam, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A huge scene where they are part of the game where they're traversing through, and there's a big shootout that happens. Video game stuff, right?
It's where you meet Tommy and Maria in the game.
Yeah, and here they go through the same dialogue. She's like, "So what does this thing do?" And Joel tries to explain it, but then midway through, she's like, I don't know. Which I absolutely love, because it's like with him in trying to get the fuel out of the tank in episode four, he's trying to explain to her and he's like, and she's like, you're full of crap. Don't like, stop it. Relax.
I think that also adds a little bit to Joel not being a good communicator, period.
Yeah.
because he can't explain the things. Like, he just knows how it works.
Yeah.
And that's it. So that's trying it. To explain it, it's not gonna help anybody.
Absolutely. Really. And then you get the cowboy scene. He's surrounded by a whole bunch of people on horseback. The people that we think are, you know, again, like the David's men, are not. They're not. They're Maria's men, and Maria is in the video game, as well as a bit in the show, the leader of Jackson, Wyoming.
Yep.
They do something very. This is a very tense standoff because they have a dog with them, right? Mm-hmm. And this dog, as we know through the game, they can smell infected. They know if you've been bit. And like one of the people on horseback says, they will rip you to shreds. And Joel is yet again in a position where it's a lose-lose. You know, if this dog just gets a whiff of her, it's over. This is it. It's done for her. I have failed yet again. And that doesn't happen. The dog is just super warm. He starts licking her. Like, they're just good buds. And, you know, he's just like, I'm here for my brother. I'm here to, you know. I'm just here looking for my brother, you know, what's his name? And, you know, we then get to see them on horseback. They're taking him to their brother. To Joel's brother, Tommy. There you go. Why did I forget Tommy's name for a sec? I have no idea.
That's fine.
And then we see Jackson. The walls open up. And it is a shot for shot of the game in part two.
God.
Kyle, I've talked too much.
It's breathtaking.
Yeah.
It's like they nailed it. It's just like it's incredible. And I love how they are not shying away from part two, even without even the second season, right? Like, this would have been a fun Easter egg filled episode for people who played the game, both games, and it only being a one season thing, mm-hmm. right? But just the fact that we know that part two is getting its own adaptation of season two.
They're already writing it.
They're already building up what is needed and just absolutely nailing it. The towns, the main street, the tree, the stables, right? The where the sheep are, the barn, like the small things. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but like the newborn horse named Shimmer, like seeing the little girl stare at Ellie, Dina, who I assume is Dina.
I'm assuming that too.
So many little fun little sprinklings of like, hey, guess what? We got you.
Yeah.
And just, blew me away. The only thing I was looking for was like, where's Jesse?
Yes.
I didn't see him, but it doesn't matter because they nailed everything else.
All right. This is crowd counter number one. This is because I have a very great relationship with my brother, and kind of seeing this firsthand. This one got me. This one got me and my brother in the room when we were watching this. And my sister-in-law just says, she's like, you guys are so weak. It's like, and I explained it to her that he's like, you don't get it. Like, so, you know, Joel just yells out Tommy as he sees Tommy is building something, constructing something, you know, putting his past work to work here. And they embrace, and all the troubles that they have, all the disagreements that they have, all of it, how it all ended for them, is just erased in that moment as they embrace, knowing that not just A, you're here, but B, you're alive, and it's been so long. You know, it got me again for thinking of my brother, but it also had me thinking of, and maybe it's just because I'm getting older, but, you know, I've seen it firsthand where, you know, my father is an immigrant from Spain. And when we were visiting way back when, him having to say goodbye to his brother, get me. You know, I don't see my father cry often, but that was that type of embrace that they had was just it mirrored that here.
Nothing
on
else
screen.
In the world mattered in that moment.
Nothing. Because when am I going to see you next? And that was. That hit me in my very soul. But, you know, Joel afterwards, you know, they're getting some lunch and a proper meal. Which Ellie's like, I've never had one of these. This is fucking great.
Yeah. Joel's like, manners.
Yeah, he's like, manners. Man, can we just talk again? I mean, when we talk about this scene, Bella Ramsey is just crushing it, man. God, I love her so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, Maria's sitting with them. It's awkward because Maria don't trust Joel. We'll find out why. She thinks of him as this, we have something good here. You're coming in here. This is, no, you're a bad omen. Get out. And he's just like, hey, we're going to try to talk as a family, you know, trying to shoo her away from this dinner. And Tommy's like, well, about that. And they hold hands and she is pregnant with his kid. And they're married, I believe, right? They say that?
Yes, they're married. Yep.
So how did you like this altercation while I try to find the actress's name that plays Maria? Because I don't want to be rude.
Yeah. I loved it. Yeah. It's going to be very rare for me to say, whenever you ask me that, oh, no, I didn't like it. No, I dug it because it, I think it all was on Pedro's shoulders.
Yeah.
And the way he reacted to it is why I liked it so much. Maybe that makes me like a too much of a downer of a person and why I love this world so much. Because seeing him just crumble and be so angry that Tommy is getting a second chance at a family that Joel has lost.
Yeah.
And
there's a little bitterness to that.
Yeah, exactly. There's bitterness to the way he took that news and throughout the next 20 minutes or so of the show. And I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
And he, not even saying congrats or begrudgingly saying it. I forgot if he did or not in that moment. Yeah. I know. He found out that they were pregnant later.
Later.
In a different scene. That's what it was. So he begrudgingly said congrats on the marriage, but... With the pregnancy thing, he didn't say anything.
No.
I love Pedro.
He's again, like, we'll see.
Bella crushing it. They're doing an amazing job. Pedro as well. There are some moments where I listen to them.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is that not Troy and Ashley? They're one and the same to me. It's wild.
So Rutina Wesley plays Maria Miller here, and she's also plays Tara in True Blood. That's where I fell in love with her first. So I want to say Rutina also crushing it as Maria. Like Maria is like this hard ass, like we're, you know, protective, you know.
District attorney, I believe.
District attorney. And there's a cool thing where Joel and Ellie get separated in the game. Maria takes Ellie to talk, and Joel is talking to Tommy, and you kind of get, you know, their perspective, but you never get Ellie's and Maria's. Well, the same thing happens here, and you kind of just see how mirrored and connected Joel and Ellie really are to each other and how much of an impression Joel has left on her and vice versa, but really more so on Ellie. I thought that was really, really impactful. And something I actually want to get to first, though I know it happens second to. So first, Ellie walks out of the room after they're like, hey, we'll give you a house, which is nice. And, you know, this is a communist commune type of organization that they got going on, which is hilarious because you see Tommy kind of stops and he kind of thinks like, oh, yeah, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
And she kind of tells him how Jackson works, right? It's like fully democratic. I'm one of in the council people. Everybody's equal here, all that type of stuff. And then when, you know, she sends them to their house, she's getting ready. She's getting, you know, cleaned. She's getting a hot shower, all that. She steps outside. She sees, you know, new clothes and then...
A diva cup.
There you go. Yeah. You live with girls. You know this. And that's going to help with what is been struck twice in the show already, which is like something that we constantly overlook. It's like, yeah, how when someone has their menstrual cycle, how does that work in the apocalypse?
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're seeing that actual, like, yeah, good, honest question being tossed out of how they would handle it. Here is a gift to her. A weird one that she omits, but a welcomed one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit about that scene.
Go for
and
it.
The whole house. Again, not at part two. Mm-hmm. But the moment I saw the room
yeah.
with the bed,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, so this is how they're doing it. The thing that I alluded to last week or last episode where we get the ranch scene, right? Ellie yeah. runs off and Joel and Tommy chase after her in the game. But no, they put it all in that house, I think is a great way to change it and take out, what was that, like an hour sequence in the game?
A 30, 40 minute,
something
yeah.
like that? Yeah. yeah. So like, I think that is a welcome thing that they changed here. I think all the changes in this episode, I think, work extremely well. And this was the first one that I was like, awesome.
Yeah.
I saw that little bench by the window. I saw the giraffe.
Yep.
I saw the also the picture of the giraffe. Well done. and I saw that corner. I was like, okay, this is where my heart's going to break for the millionth time a little bit later. All absolutely. Right, cool.
And you're seeing Ellie then, you know, walk into Maria's house, Maria and Tommy's house, and it's kind of a mess. Let's be real, y'all. That's a house that I would be living in. And, you know, on the fireplace is a name Kevin when, and then, you know, a date of their passing, and then Sarah. And at Lost links those two folks together, Tommy and Maria's, of just Sarah meant a lot to Tommy too, right? Yeah. And that connective loss that, you know, I want to say Tara, I all the time want to, that Maria has linked them. And, she, you know, Tommy is integral to her as well because she can't lose him. You know, she is pregnant with his child and she loves him, vice versa. And you're kind of seeing how she's getting a feel for Ellie and how defensive Ellie is of Joel. Cause she's like, you know, can you really trust him? That, mm-hmm. that type of stuff. And she's kind of being standoffish and closed off, just like how Joel is to her when she's being what she feels like interrogated by her. But one thing that Maria lets out is Sarah, you know, Joel's daughter. And that is something that they talk about in the game. Ellie talks about Sarah and, you know, oh, Maria, let me know. And so this is, you're getting the origin of that conversation that we never got to see in the game. So I want to know what your thoughts are on that scene. What stuck out the most to you there, my man?
I like how this is how Ellie learns about Sarah.
Yep.
First and foremost, and also how Ellie in that moment realizes like that's why Joel is the way he is.
Yeah.
Like she says something, I was like, oh, suddenly he makes a whole lot of sense now.
Yeah.
And I like that conversation. I like how that's how Ellie gets that outfit. Mm-hmm. Again, a thing from the game. I dug it a lot.
And then we get the scene again, this happens first, but whatever. Of Tommy and Joel in the bar talking it out.
Cry counter two or three, whatever it was.
Whatever. We've lost count. And here is rather, you know, they're trying to break the ice, but there's a barrier there, right? Like they've done so much, they've lost so much together. And even when he's just like, yeah, I made this whiskey. Oh my God, it's great. It's like, yeah, the only thing is bacon. And then what else is there? You know?
Exactly.
And yeah. he starts questioning about Tess. I started to ask those type of questions. And you see immediately something's not right because Joel lies. Oh yeah, Tess is fine. It's like, yeah, oh, so that's great. And then Tommy brings up, you know, I have a kid. You know, and Or Maria's pregnant with child. And that's where Joel kind of starts breaking down. Now, for this scene for me is a bit hazy because of emotional damage. Is there anything more here that I kind of missed that you want to flesh out?
I think you nailed the scene, but also I think the reason why Joel doesn't say congrats or is upset about cold. Hearing about why, yeah, he's a little bit cold, hearing that Tommy's going to be a father. It's, I think, in Joel's mind, we get, he was already at that point in the conversation that they have later.
Yeah.
Where, like, Joel was hoping to have Tommy take Ellie where she needs to go. Yeah. And him dropping the bomb that he's going to be a father makes that conversation so much more difficult. So yes. I think that adds to the reason why he was so cold to Tommy at that bar. And yeah.
And the argument of this, like, okay, we've done shitty things, Joel. Yeah. And him going, yeah, but like, he didn't call. He didn't send message. Like, who's really telling you that? Is it Maria? You know, you guys are so close off. Is that really the reason, or you wanted to shut me off from your life? All that type of stuff. Joel runs out angrily and starts having a panic attack again, because you're right, there's now so much more weight put back on him. And then he sees a woman with curly hair, just like his daughter.
About the right age.
Yeah.
That Sarah would be if she was alive still.
And for a second there, he thinks it's her, and then sees her, this woman with, you know, running up to her daughter and thinking, like, yeah, that this could have been me if all things panned out. This sucks.
Yeah.
You know, Ellie is then in one of the halls watching a movie, because that's where Maria. She's in the
barn. Yeah. Infamous barn. Yeah.
That's where Maria, you know, said, hey, listen, I'm taking it to the movies. I thought that was a joke for a second. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, this is the thing that happens.
It was so cool to see all the kids.
Yes.
So many kids in this community, because they, in all the other cities we see in the game, they're nowhere to be found.
And here's the interesting thing as well. One or two children that I saw in the crowd were disabled. There were some special needs kids in there. And yeah. I was like, oh shit, this is how this community, this is truly a community. Like, you know, I work with autistic children as my job. And it's since this show has started, it's like, yeah, what would happen to them in here? It's like, nothing great, I could promise you that. But this community has been able to grow so well that they're able to support, you know, kids with wide range of needs. And I was like, holy shit, this is the most society we will ever see of The Last of Us universe.
Oh, yeah.
Here. That struck me. But even Ellie feels out of place. Like, Maria and Tommy are talking together all the way in the back, and she's like, something's up. Tommy leaves, and Ellie goes to kind of follow him, stalk him a bit. And Tommy has the talk with Joel, similar to that of the game. Joel's like,
real quick, before we get into the talk,
please go for it.
A minor detail that I absolutely love that this episode gets into.
Yeah.
Earlier, Joel is taping up a shoe. Yes! His shoe is like all this trekking across the country. His shoe's failing. Cut to, he's in like a cobbler shop or whatever, and he's trying to replace the soles of his shoe. And I just thought that was a very minor thing. And the fact that they still paid off that little thing earlier in the episode.
But Kyle, what did he try to fix his shoe with?
Duct tape. Yeah.
Everything goes back. So they're even using the things you'd use normally in this game to snap people.
Absolutely.
Make all the things. It's still amazing. Getting so used in the show. So, chef's kiss brilliantly.
And then we get the talk that we get between Tommy and Joel in the dam in the game.
Take it away.
And basically Joel's saying, I need you to take Ellie. I can't do it. I'm deaf. I'm not as agile, kind of what I spoke about earlier. I can't. She's immune. She is the cure. I've watched her get bit. It's been months. She's fine. She's important. She is the chance to redeem us, to redeem you. So, like, you need to go. You need to go and bring her to the Fireflies or whatever. And I think this scene in the show, I love it way more here than the game.
Yes, because Joel is illustrating. He's like,
he is the pain, the tears, the emotion I loved it.
Here, I think this is one of the scenes Troy talked about. He's like, damn it, he did this.
Yeah.
So brilliantly. Because you're right. There's a pain that Joel's being real. He's like, dude, I am 56. I am old. I am weak. I can't do this. I have failed her, Tommy. Tess is dead. I keep on getting us into situations I can't get out of. And we're just saying it without saying it. And I think we may get the line still, but we are just getting lucky, and our luck is going to run out. And it's not even I'm fucking up.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He's just like I'm deaf.
Yeah, a kid got the drop of me in Kansas City, and if that was the old me, he would have been done before he even had a chance. And the fact she shot him and saved me, and then the brothers, he saved Ellie while I stood there and I didn't react. I couldn't help and watch. And like the pain, the pure pain Angel's face is going through this is incredible.
It removes the Superman-ness that we have in video games. And it's just something much more real. And again,
mode in this HBO game.
Listening mode. No. And you know, here it's again, the connectiveness to part two, this makes now way more sense with all the craziness that's going to happen in part two. It's connected, man. They've done such a great job illustrating the strengths and weaknesses of both of these characters and what they both mean to each other and how they both reflect off each other.
Yeah.
And that speech alone, Tommy, of course, the hero mentality that he is mm-hmm. All right, we'll leave at dawn.
Which is kind of messed up. Yeah. Joel playing that up a little bit, I feel like, because he knew Tommy had that hero complex. Because he talked about it earlier in the show.
I think this is Joel being as real as it real can get. I don't think he's playing up to like anything of Tommy. He's just laying it all on the line of like, this is it.
You're not wrong. Yeah. But knowing what we know of Joel, there might be a small percentage that tried to twist that in that way, I feel like.
And the performances here of Gabriel Luna and Pedro is incredible.
Did you also
just hope so good? Yeah.
That we would have gotten a scene of Tommy and Maria talking about Tommy having to leave?
No. Because the talk in the theater is all about, I think.
The talk without talking, the look.
Yep. The look that she gives him after the fact, or he lacks does not give her. Is indication. And then we get the scene. The infamous scene.
My favorite scene in the entire first game.
They definitely knew that this scene is important. So Kyle,
they spoke about it on the thing after the episode.
Where,
Craig Mazin was like, arguably this is the most famous scene from the game. So we wanted to completely try to not touch that as much as possible. And I can tell you right here, right now, it is exactly the game.
Yeah.
It is powerful. It's Joel trying to check up on Ellie. Ellie reading a diary of like, man, all they had to worry about was what skirt they're wearing.
Boys, like, what
boys,
skirt?
Ugh. Yeah. I wish kind of thing. And then she I forgot the exact direct correlation, but she basically was spying on Joel and Tommy while they had that conversation. And then she basically says, or Joel, they talk about loss.
Yeah.
Right? Joel's like, you have no idea what loss is, or don't bring up Sarah at all. Like, don't. You have no idea what loss is. And then Ellie says my favorite line where she goes, everyone I've loved or care about have left me. Yeah. Everyone except fucking you. And pushes, and the emphasis on the F word and the push and the tremble in Bella's voice. I just was like, note for note, perfect game.
No notes.
TV screen. No notes.
I'm not Sarah.
You crushed it. I'm not Sarah. Exactly.
That there's an invasion of trust, of boundaries, of I didn't want you to see this and you've seen it. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much you've seen, you peeked through. You saw my vulnerable side.
Yeah.
And man, oh man. The scene is word for word practically in the game.
That is this here. Is where I was like, Pedro sounds like Troy. Bella sounds like Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when she's like, everybody except for fucking you, and shoves them like, God. And the pressure, you know, talking about the after credit stuff with them is they're like, the pressure of this scene has to be for the fans, while at the same exact time, you have to make it, you have to remove yourself of that burden and just perform. Powerful. Super I ain't your powerful. Dad, and you sure as shit ain't my daughter. Sure as hell, but I always in my head say sure as shit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We will go our separate ways. That is just. Now, of course, there are no raiders here. Not yet.
Nope. They just go to sleep.
They just go to sleep.
Or I think Ellie probably didn't sleep. I think she just sat there ready to go from that moment.
And as she's like, all right, let's go. And it's kind of just like she spent,
no words, really, between Tommy and her either.
No words. It's just, all right, back to this shit again. Like, back to square fucking one with this stranger. Yet again, I am alone. They walk to the stables, and who's stealing a horse? Joel.
He's been there for 30 minutes.
Yep.
But something told him, I guess you have a say in this, Ellie. You get to choose. Before he even like finishes the statement, she throws the bag in Joel's hands. Like, all right, let's go.
And you see, like, the night before too, like, he's having flashbacks of Sarah and how much she means to him. And again, he's reflecting on loss, and he is letting go of Ellie here, but he can't. Mm-hmm. Such powerful stuff here. And then we get straight to the university.
I love the another line straight from the game.
Go for it.
Him describing football to Ellie.
Talking about college life. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. I loved it.
Those lines from the game, man. Jesus. Beautiful stuff.
And they're like, that's the thing that I feel like other video game adaptation things don't do right. It's because I think all the other ones strictly look at like just cutscenes.
Yeah.
Like these other little small lines of dialogue, that is not a cutscene thing. It is part of the journey with you behind the sticks kind of.
Absolutely. Situation.
And I think that's what makes this adaptation work so much more than any of the other ones.
And also just to note, the big deviation here is like, you know, again, they meet in the Hydro Dam. You don't really get to explore Jackson, right? Like you're at all. You're fighting raiders. You go from this farmhouse straight to the university. Like Jackson is built from the ground up. You're seeing it firsthand. This deviation, so smart. They're making they know when the fork in the road happens, where to go.
Yeah.
Every time they have not missed so far. No. And even in the university, she's like, monkeys. And you just see literal wild monkeys. Yeah. And brilliant, where they're in the university and they're hearing things clatter around. And it's the same little jump scare that it is in the game. They think it's raiders. It's just two monkeys in a lab.
And they take out all the clicker fights that happen in the university as well to make the clickers feel more powerful. I love that.
Yep. And also, like, it harkens back to the monkey story in The Last of Us Part 1, where that's how part of the outbreak happens. It, it, uh, uh, an infected monkey bites a scientist
yeah.
who wanted to help the monkeys escape. And he's like, son of a bitch. This is how I go out. I'm a fucking idiot. They were all right. Oh, God, I loved it.
And in that same room when they investigate the noise, the monkeys jump out the window. That's where they see a map with all trails leading to Salt Lake City and St. Yeah. Mary's.
Yeah.
And they know that that is where they went because they found, again, another in-game collectible note from the game of yep. the packing list.
And it looks exactly like it.
It's the same thing with the Danny and Ish image from the previous episode. So I loved it. God. They obviously the fireflies moved. Then they hear some noise outside and they look out and there's four raiders.
Yeah.
And then they, instead of doing the whole fighting through an entire horde of raiders from the games, they sneak out and it's just a 1v1 battle of Joel yeah. versus one of them. And this whole time I'm thinking like, it's a very pivotal thing from the game we need to see. How is Joel going to get injured?
Yeah.
Because the game, he gets pushed off the second railing onto a piece of rebar. And I'm like, they're already leaving the university. How are we going to get that? How are they going to do it? And then the moment the Raider sneaks up behind them and cracks the bat against the tree when he goes to swing at Joel, I was like, oh, there we go. That's it.
This is it.
There it is. And
a smart change that makes sense again.
Very smart. Yeah. Very, very smart. And they get close quarter combat. Joel snuffs him out, takes him, quietly breaks his neck. And the adrenaline keeps him going. He turns around and Ellie sees that he has got a broken baseball bat stabbed in his lower abdomen.
Yep.
He's
bleeding. He's bleeding his own blood.
And then the chase out of the university as the Raiders are chasing after them. Ellie's shooting backwards at them. And
yeah.
Then we get to the ending part where they're in the snowstorm down the train tracks. And Joel is not looking great.
Nope.
Then he flops over the horse. Flop. Ellie says they're not chasing anymore. Before that, he flops off and Ellie goes, I need you, over Joel, who's passed out and
pretty lifeless. I am. Yeah.
still pouring out blood. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to do. Please. And then it just pans out and we're done. Cry counter number 5.
Yeah. And also I also want to just point you out here, the one scene that we also missed, the in-between, seeing how they're getting from point A to point B so fast. There's a moment where they stop and they're shooting. They're shooting at a target. He's teaching her how to use the rifle.
Oh.
And aim.
Yeah.
And they're joking about and
that's right.
She's taking it half serious, you know, but they shoot the target correctly, or he shoots the target correctly, and it's just a thing saying asshole.
Asshole. Yeah. That's he shoots a great point. Bullet
right under the H. Mm-hmm. So I want to pull up our good friend Donnie over at PSVG who tweets this. I wanted to hate how different it was, but I can't. That was fucking supreme cinema. Bravo. And Donnie, you are not wrong, man. This episode, you're right, Kyle. It's like almost every single episode. It's just like, it's my favorite one. This is my favorite episode. This is my favorite. Like,
I question Donnie walking into the show wanting to hate on it. What are you doing,
Donnie? No. Listen, if there's anybody who loves The Last of Us, maybe even more.
I know.
It's Donnie. He's obsessed. Yeah. Now, that said, you know, we got comments a few weeks ago or even now months where it's just like, I want this to be, you know, the best show ever. Like someone wrote in, it's like, I'm expecting this to be the best show ever. And I'm like, let's hold your horses.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We had that whole conversation of how video game stories can't be art or can't be good.
No, I'm not. Let's not get back into this.
I'm just reminding you that we had that conversation.
Trying to shorten it down. And I said that Last of Us was the start of, like, this is something bigger and greater. You know, because we were talking about how, like, Craig Mazin was kind of, not to say underplaying video game stories, but kind of being realistic about video game stories.
Yeah.
And how Last of Us kind of changed it. And I believe Craig's right. All right, I'm a fanboy there. I'll fight you. I know Bioshock also amazing, but nonetheless, knocking down that road. I go, hold your horses. There's no way this is gonna be Breaking Bad. It's getting there. I believe right now as like the best first season or limited series or whatever to ever just grace us is The Watchmen. And this first season is getting to this territory of this is stellar. This changes that they make, you know, adapting it from video game to TV is making so much sense. And now where they go from here is, again, no spoilers on anything else, but or just echoes left behind David.
Hospital. That's the last three.
That's right.
Left behind, David, hospital.
Trash can? Nope. that's a super bad reference. No, that's super. Yeah. Anyway, nonetheless, I mean, we've echoed it enough. This episode was great.
If anything, this episode did more than last episode when I said it. I want to replay The Last of Us Part 2 so bad.
Yes.
Seeing Jackson tonight in the show, I'm like, I've been itching to go back and replay that game, and I think this is the push.
Yeah. So, so special, man. This again, been a tremendous episode, and they're nailing it. I have complete faith, and you're right. I think even going further out of that, it gives me complete faith in what they're going to do with part two.
Yeah.
So, that said, Kyle, we loved this episode. Anything you want to, you know, say or you know, spotlight we go?
Sure. I'll just quickly add something I mentioned at the beginning for anyone new to this story, the IP, whatever. I mean it with every fiber of my being. The next three episodes, the final three episodes, just prepare yourself. Yeah. Starting with next week, it's going to get very real, very crazy. It's going to be a ride. So just prepare yourselves. Am I overhyping that? Am I overstating?
No.
Because it goes places, even more so than what we already saw. Yeah, you know where to follow me. I love you all very, very much. I appreciate every single one of you so much. And I'm so happy that this show is happening during a time where I need an escape. And
what this an escape helped. You picked.
Listen, like I said earlier, I think I'm messed up a little bit.
Yeah.
this dour, depressing world I love so much.
But I think you're onto something there.
Escape every week. Yeah. Just saying. I'm just happy the show exists and it is as incredible as it is. And I hope future PlayStation show stuff like God of War, I'm looking at you, hits the same notes. And we come on here every week like, man, it was perfect.
And just on a cinematography level, the shots in this episode, I think, are the most powerful, especially when they're both on the horse together, take it away.
Just to add to that, it can't be overstated just how much Gustavo's music, it's adds so much to the game, and it adds the same amount of emotional impact on the show. And I love that they brought him in for the show as well to just do the score too. It adds those scenes of silence of just like the plucks on the guitar. Oh my God, it's beautiful.
So good. That said, you can find me over at Mr. Badbit on Twitter. You can find the show at PS Trophy Room on Twitter. Also, make sure you're following us into our Discord, where we talk all things PlayStation games and right now entertainment. And make sure you check out the show, The Trophy Room, a PlayStation podcast here on this channel each and every Thursday, where me and this guy over here talk about the latest, the greatest in all things PlayStation. With all that said, though, with all that out of the way, everybody, keep your wits about you, keep hunting, and endure and survive. See y'all.